All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. With today being Easter, also known as my favorite Sunday of the year, it is quite normal that on Easter, the day where we celebrate Christ coming back alive after being dead, that we talk about life. I'll say this over and over again until you guys start repeating it back to me in the next couple of years. But on Easter, we celebrate life because we were given life through the resurrection of Jesus. So today, although we are not going to talk about the kind of life that we talked about last Easter when it started coming out that everybody was pregnant, we're going to talk about a different life. So if I could get two guys to come up here and help me out. We have no PowerPoint today, just a visual illustration. So if I could get two guys to come out up here and help me pass these out. There you go. There's one. I have more in my office if we need more. But if you can just pass one out, give one to everybody. Oh, and if I could get one too, that'd be great. So Terry and John are going to be passing out some seeds. And this comes from what Jesus talks about after all these things that we read in our scripture reading. He went to Bethany to celebrate with Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, the guy who he raised from the dead. He went there right before Passover. A bunch of people started following him. They found out that he was going to Jerusalem. They laid down palm branches for everyone, for Jesus. Everyone was shouting, "Hosanna! Here comes the King of Israel to set us free." And what's so terribly awkward about it all is in like 5 days, those people go to the city square. They find out that this guy who came in on a donkey is up for whether he should be executed or not. And they all just start chanting, "Kill him." It's like they had nothing better to do that day than watch someone die. So they just decided, oh, you know that guy who came in as a king? Let's get rid of him. There's some frustration because Jesus didn't appear to be doing what they expected him to do after he rode in. He caused quite a stir, and the Pharisees didn't like what he was doing. The Pharisees didn't like the fact that Lazarus wasn't dead, so they made a plan to kill Lazarus. As if that would matter, because if he was raised from the dead once, surely he could be raised from the dead a second time. But the Pharisees didn't like the fact that Jesus was getting more and more popular, that these people were actually talking about the Messiah. These Pharisees may have had a little bit of a good streak in them because they were afraid, because of what has happened in the past, when people claimed to be the Messiah, that the Romans would come in and squash all the Jewish people if the Jewish people believed that this Messiah was in fact there to set them free. So they decided, you know, unless we all get killed, it's better that one person die than everybody. Which again is ironic when you see what Jesus does. It's better for one man to die than everyone to die. In verse 19, the Pharisees are talking to one another when the Jewish people are following Jesus because of all the signs that he had done, and also because they could see someone who had been dead once come see him as an exhibit. Pharisees said to one another, "You see, we've accomplished nothing. In fact, the whole world has gone after him." Every time the Pharisees say something, it turns out to be a little ironic. The next verse says, "Now some Greeks," and people from the rest of the world, I mean, they were just upset that the Jews were following them. Now the Greeks show up, and they go to Philip and said, "We would like to go see Jesus." And so Philip went to Andrew and said, "I don't know, is this a good idea?" And Andrew's like, "I don't know, let's go ask Jesus." So they went to Jesus and said, "Well, there's some Gentiles here to see you." And this is what Jesus' reply is, verse 23. Jesus replied to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I assure you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces a large crop. The one who loves his life will lose it. The one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So during this time, Jesus is very intent on knowing what is going to take place. People from other nations, other tribes, and other tongues are showing up saying, I want to see Jesus. And that's the cue that Jesus knows now is the time for everything that I came to do to happen. He knows that the Pharisees are not going to put up with that, that the Gentiles, those disgusting Gentiles, want to start following after Jesus too. They're not going to let that happen. Jesus also knew what he was here to do, and so he begins to tell his disciples again and again, look, it's time for me to be glorified, but I have to go to Jerusalem and die. And in 3 days, I'm going to come back to life to fulfill what I've come here to do. And often in the stories, it says the disciples didn't know what he was talking about at the time. However, after all these events took place, they remembered. And it all made sense. So today we're going to talk about this picture that Jesus gives us of a seed. In this case, he talks about a grain of wheat. Didn't have a good time finding wheat for sale to plant, so it just went ahead and got a different seed. But Jesus is using a picture, like he often does, to teach us a lesson. He uses a picture that people understand. And so today, we're going to see how much we understand about seeds. So, first of all, a seed has a purpose. So if this seed is your life, it means also that your life has a purpose. Jesus' life had a purpose as well. But what is its purpose? What is a seed's purpose? I mean, to grow and then make more seeds so that it can also grow more seeds. It's to keep it alive. Plants, all different types of plants do it all sorts of different ways. But plants, just like God designed them in the beginning, produce after their kind. They produce fruit after their kind, and that fruit can also produce after its kind. So a seed has a purpose. Its purpose is to grow. To grow a new plant to produce fruit, which then also can be planted and reproduce fruit. As Jesus says, that unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it's just going to remain a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces a large crop. So, when you think of a seed, it's got a purpose, and its purpose is to produce, to make things happen. And an interesting thing about a seed is that you don't plant one seed, and then you get one seed, and then you plant that seed, and you get one seed. That's not typically how this works. You plant one seed, and then you produce a fruit that has tons of seeds in it. Some, and unless we've genetically engineered it so that it won't have seeds in it like watermelons, so we don't have to spit them all out. But normal plants just produce more seeds. That is what the seed is designed for. It is its purpose to grow a plant, to bring life, to produce more fruit, to produce more seeds. And Jesus uses this picture of a seed to talk about what is going to happen to him. Using a seed as a life, Jesus is trying to communicate, my life has a purpose. It has a plan. It has a design. And I'm dedicated to doing that. It's true of all of us, no matter where you're at in life, what's going on with your situation at work or in your family, that there is a purpose for your life. As Ecclesiastes will say, and we'll continue to learn, sometimes that purpose and the meaning of life isn't all that clear. But God has made you and put you where you are for a purpose. We see and we know what Jesus' purpose is. It's to provide salvation for the whole world. But we all know that that's not our purpose, right? So what is our purpose in life? just like Jesus has a purpose and a mission, we have a purpose and a mission. And our purpose and mission is really to point people to Jesus, who fulfilled his purpose and mission. God sent Jesus to die for our sins, rose him from the dead, and then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Now go tell everyone, make disciples." Jesus' purpose in life produced more fruit. Jesus was the first, but he produced people who followed after him that would then produce other people who would follow after him, who would produce more people who would follow after him. Our purpose is not that much different today. Our purpose in life is to glorify God where we are by making more seeds, by sharing the good news about Jesus' life, death, and then coming back to life. So a seed has a purpose, and your life has a purpose. And not only does your life have a purpose, but it has potential. Just like a seed has potential to grow a plant, so does your life have potential to do the purpose of your life. You see, Jesus says in here that unless this grain of wheat or a seed falls into the ground and then dies, it's just going to stay a seed. You can store this seed for a long time, and if it doesn't get wet or get put into dirt, it's not going to do anything except be a seed. But if you put it in the dirt and you water it, it's got the potential to produce a beautiful plant that produces seed after its own kind that can then be continually planted and grown over and over again. Our lives have that same potential. However, there's this awkward phrase in here that he says, unless it dies, it's just going to stay a seed. Your life, if you don't serve your purpose, is just going to be a life. And the Bible says a lot about life being nothing more than a vapor. Your life has a purpose, but if you're not willing to serve that purpose, you're just going to have a life. And everything that you gain won't matter, because it's not in line with your purpose in making more seeds. If we are not sharing the gospel with people and producing people who follow after Jesus and growing them so that they also can make disciples who follow after Jesus, then our lives are just lives and they're going to be over in a blink. And nothing that we will have done will have produced anything of worth. But we do have potential to produce a large crop, to have a life that is meaningful, that has purpose, that produces something beyond just what us being a seed. It takes death, though. And so today we're going to talk about life and death, just as the gospel talks about life and death. Jesus came and lived a perfect life, but he died. And he rose again. He produced many people to follow after him. He made us able to fulfill our potential as lives to glorify God, which was the design from the beginning. So for us, we too must die, and I don't want you to mistake that for meaning that we need to physically die. But when we believed in Jesus, Paul would say that we put to death our old man. And then we're often told to put to death the deeds of the flesh. There is a lot to be said about death and life. And what Jesus is teaching us here is that if we want to fulfill our potential, we must first be willing to sacrifice those things that don't serve our purpose. Says about the seed, if it doesn't die, it's not going to produce anything. It's just going to be a seed. And then after that, he says in verse 25, the person who loves his life is going to lose it. And the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus is teaching us here that we have to be ready and actively pursuing, cutting away the things in our lives that don't serve the purpose that God made our lives for. Jesus would say this a different way in another gospel, that if you want to come and follow after me, that's fine. Pick up your cross and follow after me. Jesus is setting himself as the example of what it means to die to produce a large crop. So what do we mean when we talk about death in this way? When we talk about dying to self, this is the struggle that we all have in waking up every day and thinking, what am I going to do today? What should I accomplish today? What matters to me today? It's what gets in our way in our relationships produces conflict, which is, what do I want from this situation? Dying to self means that we have to be selfless. That our lives, this being a seed, isn't about being a seed. Seeds aren't that great, right? Sometimes some of them are good to eat, but a lot of them aren't. A lot of them we just kind of spit on the sidewalk as we go down the street. Our lives aren't meant to just remain as a simple seed that's just kind of ugly. Our lives have a purpose. And so we must constantly fight our own selves to get us to get on board with the mission that God has left us here for. Which means we don't always get what we want. Which means our lives aren't as easy as we would like. We have to be willing and ready and actively pursuing getting rid of the things in our lives that aren't helping us fulfill our purpose. To deny ourselves the pleasures of this life for pleasure's sake. To deny ourselves getting what we want just because we're selfish. We have to be willing at a moment's notice to leave our job, our country, our purpose that we have set forth in our community for the sake of the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean I want you all to leave, quit your jobs, and move away. That would be a sad week for all of us. But when you realize that this life, everything that we can have, everything that we enjoy, everything that we can get, in the end, doesn't really matter if we haven't fulfilled our purpose, we then lose out on the purpose and the potential that God has put within us to produce fruit. So we should instead wake up every morning and ask, God, what do you want to do today? Instead of saying, what do I need to do today to get done what I need to get done? We should be ready to put ourselves in the spot to do whatever God has for us every day. It's one of those things that you learn when you're married, that not every day is about you. Oftentimes, no days are about you. But you have to be ready to die to yourself, to your selfish wants, ambitions, plans. You have to be willing to put those aside for the betterment of either your marriage or your relationships with other people or your life. That is a principle in life, that you get something more beautiful when you put aside your own wants and what you desire. So, Jesus is teaching, first, every life has a purpose. And second, every life has a potential to do something that lasts beyond themselves. That remains even after you've died. He says that whoever loves his life so much is going to lose it. He's going to lose all of it. If we just love everything about our lives, so we love our houses, our cars, our job, our positions, we love that life so much, when you die, it's all lost. It stays here. Your money stays here, your car stays here, your house stays here, and eventually they're all going to break down, rot, and turn to nothing. However, the person who sees his life, as Jesus would talk in absolute terms, hates his life in this world. The one who says, you know what? The stuff in this world here isn't really worth anything. So like, they're not super concerned about getting a six-figure income. They're not super concerned about being the most popular person everywhere they go. But they are concerned about the souls of men. The person who says, I'm going to put all my selfish ambitions aside, that person gets to keep his life. Because that kind of life continues into eternity. When you think about all of this, you have a purpose, you have potential. The last thing that we need is power. And that is what Jesus came to give us. The ability to do this. He came to die, to take the guilt of our sin away, to assure forgiveness of sins. And then he sends his spirit to live inside of us, to empower us to do that thing that he left us to do, which is to produce others who would follow after Jesus. We have the ability as believers, but if you have not accepted Jesus as a Savior, that his death paid for your sins and his life means that God accepted that payment. If you haven't done that, you won't be able to fulfill your potential by trying your hardest. You won't be able to complete your purpose that God made you to do, which is to be here and represent him and glorify him in front of others without the Spirit living in you. You will just be a seed forever. A seed can't will itself into a plant. Can't dream about being a plant. It can't just worry about trying to make it the best looking seed ever and hope that it matters in the end. So if today you're trying to make your life fit some sort of plan that you have and you're not accepting Jesus' work on your behalf, you are just a seed and you're just going to sit here and it will all be lost in the end. But if you believe in Jesus and accept his payment for your sin, that you actually are not a good person, and that you've asked God to save you from your sin, you have purpose, potential, and power. So now let me talk to us believers here for a moment, because often we feel powerless. We often feel like, oh, you know, I'm missing this one piece to be able to fulfill my life's purpose. And half of us spend, you know, the first 4 decades of our lives trying to find said purpose, trying to find the job that God wants us in, the marriage that God wants us in, the state that God wants us in, you know, all of these other things. And all the while God's saying all of those things really don't really matter. I want you to fulfill your purpose, which is to point people to me. And that sounds kind of selfish on God's part. They're like, but what about my life? Your life is a seed designed to do something awesome, but it takes sacrifice to do it. And we have God's Spirit living in us to give us that ability, that willingness to say no to ourselves and yes to whatever it is God has for us. Sometimes things in our lives have to die in order to bring new life. Sometimes relationships have to be let go. Sometimes jobs and dreams and the best type of retirement you could think of have to be left alongside the road in order to fulfill our purpose and produce this new life. But that is what we're here to do. And the Spirit's living in you if you are a child of God, and he points you to God and to Jesus, and he asks and empowers you to do what they've asked you to do. To simply obey. To tell people about Jesus. Like, you could think of the worst job description in the world, the hardest one to accomplish. And it's often what we think Christianity is. We often think, boy, being a Christian is really hard. It's really difficult. And when you think about what it is that God has asked you to do, it's simply to tell people about Jesus. We talk about people all the time, sometimes in sin and sometimes in good stories and sometimes just for fun or introducing people. We do it all the time. So telling people about Jesus isn't that hard of a job description. So we have the ability to do that. So you see this as a seed. Our lives have purpose and potential to grow something, to produce something that outlives us. And then we have the power to do that. So today as you leave back out in the back, I will have some cups with dirt in it. You will be able to plant this seed. And it will be a reminder for you for however long this seed will continue growing, hopefully through the summer. But now at the end, you'll see that this seed produces a flower that produces more seeds. And that is what God wants for you. You look at this seed. The seed is so little. I didn't expect it to be completely pitch black, but it's kind of boring, right? But you know what's cool? When this seed dies and fulfills its purpose to produce new life, it produces something amazing. You think about this, this should grow to about a 6-foot tall sunflower out of this. And that's what God wants to do with you. That's why you are here. He allowed you to come from another plant, to hear about the gospel, to believe it. And now if we die to ourselves, our own wants, our own plans, and we just die to that mission and live to this new mission of producing more seeds, something awesome is going to happen with your life. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be rich. I'm not going to tell you that you'll never get sick. I'm not going to tell you that every relationship you have is going to be the best thing in the world. But God is going to grow that act of self-denial into a plant that will reach people for Jesus and build the kingdom of God. There's no other way to do it. So today the call for us as believers is to simply die to ourselves. As Jesus died to himself, after this statement, he says, you know, my soul is troubled. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to call out to God and tell him, please don't make me do this. I don't want to die. And Jesus says, no. This is why I'm here. This is why I've come. It's time for me to be glorified. So, although it doesn't seem easy or fun, what God has called us to do, to die to ourselves, is what we are here to do. And it has amazing results if we simply just do what he asks us to do. We need to cut out the things in our lives that are not in line with the purpose of making more disciples for Jesus. As we return to our study in Acts, you'll see people self-sacrificing, denying themselves, completely selflessly going around the world for years on end to fulfill their purpose. And the results are that we in Minnesota are Christians, believing in a man who 2,000 years ago died and then 3 days later came back to life. It has shaped the world that we live in, shaped our culture, even to the point where, like, this is why we meet on Sunday. Because Jesus denied himself what he wanted for something better, and it produced new life. He came back to life even though he died, and that's what is waiting for us as well. We don't have to just say, well, that's the end of all my hopes and dreams, and then live a horrible life after that. There will be a new breath of life in you. Something new, something better than anything that you could have planned or done on your own. So as you leave today, I'll be out back. I'll be passing out that dirt and you can plant this. Eventually you will need to take it out of the cup because it should get big enough that it should live in the dirt. So hopefully you can keep this going and keep it alive. And it will be a reminder to you of Jesus saying, unless a seed dies, it just stays a seed. But if it dies, it can produce an amazing crop that would be able to continue this cycle on and on. Dear Father, thank you for your word and thank you for this picture that we can understand about plants, to understand our lives, which seems so complicated. We pray that you would use your spirit to stir up in your children a desire to leave aside the things that we want so that we will continue after your purpose. And we pray too that you would use your spirit, that if someone is here that is not a believer, who is not following after you, that you use your spirit to convict them of their sins so that they know that there is nothing that they could do that would please you in and of themselves, but that they need to turn to Jesus as their Savior. We pray that if that is the case, that they would do that today, that they would experience a new life after putting their old selves to death. We pray that we as a church will continue to grow, that as we seek after this purpose, as we seek to fulfill the potential you've put in us with the power that you give us, that we would see our church grow and be filled with people who are willing to go and grow others and to grow others after them. That you would continue your work of building your kingdom until you come back to establish it. In Jesus' name, amen.